Ramsey TV.
Have I ever got a video for you? Oh my goodness, this is going to be amazing. No, I'm not even talking about this video. No, I'm talking about a video this morning. I was scrolling through, the internet. You know how videos come up on your search thing on YouTube? Anyway, this video came up. I said, what's this? This looks interesting. I clicked on it and I'm mesmerized for like 18 minutes or whatever. It was the most amazing, one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Well, yeah, it was one of my videos, but what am I supposed to do? It was amazing. I had heard it before, of course, I made it, but I'd completely forgotten about it, and I watched it, and I was instantly comforted. And so I want to comfort you. The video is called The Intimate Wink of God. Everything's going to be all right. And I'm going to link you to it down there. Look down there. So this is a great day for you. It's Friday, TGIF. It's a great day because after you finish, I know after you watch my video, you're sad. You feel down because it's Friday. No new video from me on Saturday. You still get the classics. But now, after this show's over, you get to go directly to another Martin Zender video. Isn't that great? By the way, I'm Art Zender, and I can't help it. I just am. I love talking to you here from my office, my studio in Fort Lauderdale. I have to give a shout out to Marcia Knotts. She had a great comment on yesterday's video. She said, I don't comment very much, but I am loving this series. Thanks, Martin Zender. Also, Rhonda Buick. Hello, shout out to Rhonda Buick. I love the letter you wrote, by the way. I'm going to shout out to people once in a while. Don't feel left out if I don't happen to shout it out to you today. Ace always makes great comments. And David Simone, thank you for your comments. There was a comment today. Miran Keshi, I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name right, Miran, but there you had a really good comment on today's show. Let me get to it right now, because before I launch back onto the comments of notes, remember, I had a lot more to cover on this What Is Up Believer via questions and comments of our fellow viewer and fellow member of the Body of Christ who calls himself or herself Notes. I don't even know who this person is. And here is the comment from Miran Keshi. The doctrine of Trinity is incredibly difficult to disprove with translated Bibles. That is, with the Bibles of today, it's difficult to disprove because of certain ways that things are worded. Miran goes on, says, if I didn't search the meanings of passages myself, such as Thomas saying, my Lord and my God, that's a tricky one. People are tricked into thinking that Jesus Christ is God the Father with that verse. Or, before Abraham was, I am, Jesus has the right as the image of God to take the titles of God. He says, I would never reject the doctrine completely. Many times it gave me a headache. I'd say the Trinity is Satan's magnum opus. Chapeau bas, Mr. Satan, chapeau bas. Hats off, I think that means hats off to Satan. Yes, the Trinity is an amazingly ingenious, diabolical deception that derails millions. It's not there by accident. I keep saying this. The Trinity is not with us by some accident, some random idea Satan had after eating a bad pizza. No, this was a purposeful deliberation based on the death of Christ for sin that was obviously done, not done in a corner, and there had to be something developed. These are diabolical counsels. This is Satan and his minions saying we've got to develop something to derail this, to distract people from this. And so the doctrine of the Trinity was injected into humanity via the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century. The guys sitting at that table didn't know what they were doing. They were under the influence of demonic spirits, not even realizing it.
I've got a good idea, why don't we do this? Yeah, that sounds fine, yeah. Jesus is God, sure, Holy Spirit's God, God's God. Yeah, that's gonna work just fine, yeah. Who could disagree with it? Sounds great. It's a doozy.
Yeah, it sure is. So back to the comments of our friend's notes. Are you ready for this? Many people have no clue, says Notes, what death is.
I know, that's the thing.
Or what the exact being of Christ is, or how exactly their will works. But you seem to be saying that if they do not agree with your exact definitions of these things, then they are unbelievers. Is that what you are saying? Well, I kind of chided Notes for this because I said, dear Notes, have you listened to today's show? This was 2 days ago. Have you listened? I answered your questions from yesterday, but here you are asking the same questions. Now, yes, I sound a little irritated, but people ask questions, you give them answers, they don't like the answers, so they ask the question again. But wait a minute, I just told you, but if you don't like the answer, that's another matter altogether. Notes says also, was Peter an unbeliever? Did he not go about to establish his own righteousness?
I don't remember that. No, he didn't.
Peter? Peter going about to establish his own righteousness? No, Peter was wrecked. Peter was a common man, a fisherman. He's not like a temple guy, not like a high priest, all that. It wasn't too hard to flatten that guy and make him see that I'm helpless. To save myself, I need a savior. I don't know where. Anyway, also, quote, identifying unbelievers seems to be quite a different matter when it comes to your definition versus the definition that Knock, A. E. Knock, Corum, James Corum, Huff, Dean Huff, and others have. Here again, names of reputation. Friends of mine, personal friends of mine, Jim Corum, Dean Huff, I know these men personally. They've spoken at my conference. I've spoken at their conferences. Well, except for Jim Corum's. So, yes, my definition of what a believer is way different than the definition these men put forward. And I'm going to get into that. You're going to love it. It seems to me that according to those guys, there are millions in the body of Christ. Yes, that's true. One of the books published by the Concordant Publishing Concern is called God's Aeonian Purpose by Adlai Loudy. And in that book, he forwards the run-of-the-mill Christian idea, you know, the standard issue, millions of people being raptured into the air, cars crashing, airplanes falling out of the sky, fires, mass death, because all these millions and millions of nominal, that is, Christians who love Jesus in name only, these nominal people go up into heaven. Why are they going up into heaven? Are they members of the body of Christ? No, they're members of the world's most popular religion. They're not in the body of Christ. It's the left behind scenario. And for some crazy reason, the Concordant Publishing Concern, in this case represented by Adlai Loudy, in the book God's Aeonian Purpose, it gelled with this Hollywood movie scenario. There's going to be vast wreckage on earth when the body of Christ is taken into celestial realms. I hate the term rapture. That's a Christian term. That ain't it. It's the snatching away. It's a secret. Paul's gospel is a secret. Today, still, hardly anybody knows it. Satan has done us a big favor by disqualifying millions of people from being in the body of Christ. Thanks, Satan. It's not so crowded now. How does he do it? The Trinity denies the death of Christ. Free will denies the death of Christ for sin. We got breathing room when the snatching away occurs. Hardly anybody alive are members of the body of Christ. There are so few. So when we disappear, nobody's going to miss us. Yes, your dog. Yes, of course, your dog is going to miss you. No, not your cat. Your cat's not going to miss you. I hate to tell you that. They'll get by. The dog, yeah, dogs are going to miss you. But, yeah, maybe your spouse. Maybe, could be. Maybe your kids. Don't worry about it. God's got a handle on it. But yes, note says, seems to me that according to those guys, millions are in the body of Christ. According to you, there are only hundreds in the body of Christ. Well, only hundreds alive. I said there could be 5,000. I don't know the number. I'm proffering guesses. I wouldn't be surprised if it's in the hundreds, sir, in the hundreds. This idea that there are, that everybody who names the name of Christ is in the body of Christ, it is absurd. It was a real blind spot of the Concordant Publishing Concern. I have nothing but the utmost respect for the Concordant Publishing Concern. I cut my teeth on their books. Love all those guys. The utmost respect for James Corum, Dean Hoff, A.E. Nock. But there's a blind spot here. Oh, and Adelaide Loudy, though I'd never met him. There's a blind spot here. Because they themselves, for some reason, have not come to realize the importance of their own teaching. Maybe, I don't know, would that have something to do with one's enthusiasm in getting the word out if you don't think it's really necessary? In other words, well, people are saved whether or not they believe in Paul's gospel. Well, wait a minute, I thought you had to believe the elements of Paul's gospel in order to be in the body of Christ. Well, apparently there's another way. Oh, really? What's the other way? Not believing in Paul's gospel. Huh? Gonna get into that. What a huge difference, says Notes. Yeah, that's for sure. It's almost like you are saying everybody on the, here it comes. Here it comes. I get this all the time. It irritates me, I must tell you. It's almost like you are saying everybody on the planet is incorrect except you. I'm sorry, you might not have meant it that way, Notes, but that's the way I hear it. Everybody on the planet is incorrect except you. This raises red flags for me. Oh, well, you should see the red flags that are raised for me. They're really, really red. And I'm going to explain to you what those are. I really wish that this show was, that I could just talk and talk for 45 minutes. I know what you're saying out there. Do it, Martin. Please. We want you to talk for 45 minutes. Talk for an hour. So much to say on this. Let me begin my answer to Notes' comments. Dear Notes, again, I chided him. Wonder if he even listened to the show, asking the same questions. I hope, Notes, to disabuse you of the wild notion, and this is a wild notion, that Aeonian life depends on believing Martin Zender. No, I'm simply the policeman, and I like what I said here. I thought this through. My response is public. I'm just the policeman. What do I mean by that? I did not invent the necessary truths belonging to membership in Christ's body. God invented them. And then God passed them on to Paul, who wrote them down in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. I'm enforcing them. I'm the enforcer. That's what I am. And it makes me look like a meanie. It makes me look like, oh, you're making yourself the standard. Everybody has to believe what you say. No, everybody has to believe what Paul says. And I just happen to be the most vocal enforcer of the elements of the foundational points of Paul's gospel. I'm the guy standing up and saying, wait, this stuff doesn't line up. Wait a minute, the Trinity. Are you kidding me? You can't believe in the Trinity and in the death of Christ. Nobody has said that. And maybe, and as far as I know, 100 years, possibly more. Nobody has said that. I don't know if anybody's ever said that. I'm, again, like the kid. I'm a kid who goes, wait a minute, what's happening here? Oh, yeah, more high pitch.
Wait, hey guys, this doesn't seem to add up.
How come we say that the people can believe in the Trinity and still believe in the death of Christ? It doesn't make
Ah, shut up, kid.
But I persist. I'm the policeman. I didn't invent it. I'm defending it. I am enforcing it. Because I'm doing this, you, notes, confusedly think that I invented these truths. Stop it. I didn't. He goes on, many people have no clue what death is. Yes, and my response, then these people are idiots. Yes, I don't retract that. Many people, these poor people, they have no idea what death is. Well, these people are idiots then. Haven't they ever been to a funeral? I said the other day, a two-year-old knows what death is. There's a big difference between the dude lying in the casket and the dudes walking by and the dudettes walking by the casket. Big difference between the casketers and the casketee. So how is it that many people have no clue what death is?
Oh, but there seems to be something wrong with that guy in the coffin. What's wrong with that guy in the coffin?
Besides, the scripture plainly tells us many times what death is. So there's no excuse for not knowing what death is. There's the testimony of your eyes, of your sense, again, that a two-year-old, possibly a one-year-old, knows what death is. But then there's the testimony of scripture. Quote, the dead do not know anything. Ecclesiastes 9:5. That verse has been in the Bible a long time. And how about this? The dead do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. Revelation 20, verse 5. This verse speaks to God knowing that in the last days people would be idiots. Was that wrong to say that? Am I coming off as mean? The dead do not live. In other words, in case there comes a day when people are so theologically jumbled up in their brains that they don't know what death is, I'll say something really redundantly stupid that the people of the era, that is, John wrote this, Revelation 20, verse 5, Jesus is saying, as he inspires this, well, the people of the era John lives in are going to think this is a stupid statement. The dead do not live. It's like, oh, really? You could have fooled us. The dead do not live? Oh. But you have to say that today. The dead do not live. In case you don't know what death is, dead people don't live. The dead are not alive, and the alive are not dead. So how is it that many people have no clue what death is? Goes back to what our friend Miran Keshi said. In order to confuse people on the simplest topic in the world, you have to develop a diabolical doctrine like the Trinity. You see, this is how it goes. It's like people are taught to believe that they're doing Christ a great favor. They're enhancing his resume. He said that he came to do his Father's will, and we say, no, you're better than that. You are the Father. Come on, Jesus. In another place, Jesus said, the Father is greater than I. Oh, no, come on now. Don't sell yourself short. You are the Father. So it's all this idea of enhancing Jesus' resume. Thank you, Christians. He doesn't need your help. He knows what he is and who he is. But that's part of the deception of the Trinity. You think you're doing the right thing. You think you're glorifying Christ by making him God absolute. But in fact, you're taking away his greatest glory, which is doing his Father's will, laying down his life for his Father. And at the end of the aeonian times, 1 Corinthians 15:26, delivering the kingdom up to the Father. Maybe it's verse 24. Read all of 1 Corinthians 15. You'll find it. So, this speaks to the demonic ingeniousness of the doctrine of the Trinity. So, Not to mention the places in Scripture where dead people are brought back to life. How's that? Now they're not moving or breathing. Now they are moving and breathing. They were dead. Now they're alive. Not to mention those places. There's no excuse. Well, okay, yeah, the excuse is Satan. If anyone is still, after all this, so dense as to not know what death is, yes, chalk it up to Satan, who, quote, and I've given you this verse many times, Satan, who blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving so that the illumination of the evangel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, does not irradiate them. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. See? People with blinded apprehensions, that is, confused people, in other words, no clue what death is, the exact phrase used by Notes. They have some people have no clue what death is. Poor people, they just have no clue what death is. Yes, do you know why they don't have any clue what death is? Because here it is. Satan blinds the apprehensions of who? Of unbelievers. Satan blinds the apprehensions of unbelievers. They're unbelievers. People who are confused are unbelievers. Paul calls them that. Yet you, Notes and others, insist that they're just ignorant believers. Wait a minute. And I've heard this from intelligent people. They're still believers, Martin, but they're just ignorant believers. Ignorant believers? Well, if we're going to speak of ignorant believers, then let us speak of stupid smart people, shall we? Let us speak of the clueless who still have many clues. Yes, that woman is clueless. Of course, she still has many clues. She's an ignorant believer. She doesn't believe anything, but she's a believer. She's a not-believing believer. Don't you understand, Martin? This is the teaching of James Coram, Dean Huff, and A.E. Nuck. What's the matter with you?
I don't know. I just don't like it. It doesn't sound right to me.
Okay. I got much more to go on this. You've been extremely patient with me. This has been fun. It's been educational, I hope, for you. Needs to be emphasized, especially at the end of this eon, as we want to herald. We want to herald accurately. We want to herald in accord with Scripture. We want to expose and rebuke. That is, those of us who feel the prompting from God to do so. In order to do that, we have to know what the enemies of the evangel are doing. The numero uno enemy is Satan. We need to be aware of his tactics, or as Paul calls them, the strategies of the adversary. One of the strategies is to inject false teachings into humanity via church creeds that are carried on and carried out by the organized religions of the world. Two of the most diabolical ones are the Trinity and free will. Somebody might ask, well, what about eternal torment? I'm going to get to that. That's a great question. Yeah, what about eternal torment? I'm going to get to that and other concerns and other points and more from the letter of Notes. And I will shout out to more people. And I will laud you, my viewers, who are the most intelligent audience on YouTube. But I'm going to have to wait until Monday. In the meantime, you can continue with this love fest and this scripture fest and this joy fest by watching the video I'm linking down here. The intimate wink of God, everything's going to be all right. Yes, what a great way to end the week. Everything is going to be all right.